Welcome to the USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast. USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast is the original podcast covering USC Trojans men's college basketball team and is available on such platforms as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn, as well as at the USCHoops.com website. If you haven't done so already, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a five-star rating and left a review on the platform of your choice. And a very, very happy Monday, September 8th, 2025 to everybody. Thanks for joining us. Last week, I got a notification from the sports information director for USC men's basketball, who's a lovely woman, that there was going to be an open practice that media was going to be able to attend. And I've been trying to either go myself in person or send somebody out for us. And if you guys remember, we sent out Ben Royer to one of those, which I actually was able to go to as well. But he was not available. He's working on the football beat for the Bruins. And afterwards, I was like, "Oh, we didn't get anyone there." So I was like looking around, who could I invite to talk about this? And so I was there, and I asked Haley Sawyer, the new beat writer for the Orange County Register, if she'd be willing to come on. And she was so gracious. She said yes. So, and even though she's brand new to the job, this is not like she's steeped in USC basketball tradition or USC football tradition for that matter. She's in here as a beat reporter, you know, trying to help us all out. And she graciously agreed to come on, and she's not even feeling well now because she's got one of those bugs going around LA, and she still came on the podcast. So if she doesn't sound perfect, it's because of that. So Haley, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Like you said already, I have a little bit of sinus pressure, so hopefully I don't, you know, lose my voice or anything. But yeah, so happy to be here. So happy to be on the USC beat. The school, the athletics programs, the culture there has been just so fun, interesting, great experience to kind of immerse myself in these last, 2 months now, I think it's been. So it's been fun. Happy to be here.
Great. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you kind of came to this job and, you know, just all that, you know, your kind of your experience from college onward and how's that's gone.
Yeah. So I'm from Pennsylvania, eastern part of the state, but I did go to college at Robert Morris University in Pittsburgh. Finished up there, moved down to North Carolina for an internship because I graduated early from college. I was able to take a semester and move around a little bit after that. Got my first full-time job in journalism in California with Santa Clarita Valley Signal. Shout out Signal. Lots of teeth cutting going on there, but taught me a lot. Unfortunately, got laid off there during the COVID-19 pandemic, like many other journalists and people in general did, and went on to freelance for the LA Daily News, which is part of SoCal News Group. Worked my way into a full-time position there covering high school sports and then eventually UCLA sports. Did that for a couple years. And then this past summer, I started with the USC beats, and it's been great, like I said.
Great. Well, I didn't realize you're with Santa Clarita Valley because I have a lot of family out there, including my dad who lives there part of the year. And then part of the year, he lives out near me in Arizona. So, well, that's wonderful. How's it been? You've been a couple months now for USC, and what's it like covering, and what different sports were on your beat?
So right now it's football is the main driver, obviously. You know, whether USC is doing well or they're doing poorly, people want to read about USC football in any form. So that's been the priority right now. Any other sports that kind of come up, we might write something on here and there. Like I got to tour the new like women's soccer and lacrosse stadium not too long ago, which is gorgeous. You know, we had a men's basketball practice the other day. Once it gets into basketball season, we'll cover the men's basketball team and the women's basketball team a little bit more. And I'm thinking I might want to cover some track and field when it gets to the springtime with the Olympics coming up. And they have such a rich tradition with track and field. They've won, you know, NCAA championships really recently this past season. So definitely like a really rich athletic culture to explore. But right now it's mainly football. But obviously days like today, we get to work a little basketball in.
Yes. And so do you have some flexibility and kind of what sports you know, if you say, hey, I'd like to go cover this event for USC, is that kind of some of the flexibility you have with your job?
I do, yeah. I have some autonomy, and my editors are so great to work with. I shoot them ideas every once in a while. We'll workshop some story ideas, figure out when the best time to run them might be, because there's breaking news, there's stuff that has to run right away, but some stuff you kind of want to hang on to a little bit. And one of the fun parts about being on this USCB has been just like meeting different people and creating a network within USC, because there's so many different people who are involved in sports. Like people you would never expect to have a story tip will be like, hey, like there's this thing going on. And I'm like, oh man, like I really want to look into that. So, yeah, really fortunate to have some editors that, work really well with me, and I'm able to pitch them ideas, and I trust them. They have the expertise, and we always come up with something good.
Great. So you were able to go to the USC men's practice last week. Was that the first men's basketball event you've been to, or have you been to anything else?
I've filled in for our USC writer in previous years just for like kind of one-off games here and
Okay.
there, but
That's
nothing
Luca
really.
for Luca, or
Yeah, for Luka and then for Adam when he was the writer there as well. He's with the Rams now. But yeah, other than that, this practice was like my first ever experience ever, like total clean slate.
okay. And did you have an opportunity to speak with Coach Musselman afterwards at the media event, opportunity?
Yeah, we did. It kind of surprised me the way they had it set up. Usually in the past with other schools I've been at and whatnot, they'll have like a little media scrum after practice is over. But for this, they actually took us down into the room where they have like the press conferences after games. And we all sat there. It was very official. We talked with Mus and a couple of the players too.
Yeah, that's my experience too. When I've gone early in the summer, I was invited to one and I was able to go. And it was kind of interesting. I've never sat in a press conference room before, so that was kind of neat. But so have you had the ability to meet any of the other basketball coaches, or is this kind of still a new territory for you?
Still new territory. I just have talked with Mus at this point, Eric Musselman.
And how did and okay, so you know, part of your job for when this is a question I when I'm whenever I had Ryan Karchi on, we talk about this, but it seems, that Musselman is very much trying to head in a direction of openness with the program, trying to be kind of more candid and show it was when I went to the event toward the end of the summer. I was actually able to just sit there. I mean, the players scrimmaged. It was a big kind of like event for boosters, and the players scrimmaged for almost 1 hour consecutively. And I was able to just take videos of them scrimmaging, playing basketball, and put it on X. And I do not feel like that's something that would happen in a football event. So, do you have you gotten any? I know it's very new with Musk, but have you gotten any of that sense from him?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a similar experience that you did when we were at practice the other day. We were able to watch a full hour of practice, take photos, take video, post it to social media, any form that we wanted to do. But yeah, it really seems like Mus is trying to put this men's basketball program in the spotlight in any way he can. He's very familiar with the media, each of the individual reporters, who they report for. And one other thing that's kind of stood out to me about him is he's been doing a lot of efforts to promote other sports at USC. Like,
Yes.
if you're on social media, you've probably seen the clip of him like handing out flyers for the women's soccer game, going up to different students on campus for that. He's also been spotted wearing a football helmet and jumping rope. He also put out a video of him wearing like a full football uniform and running steps. So he is, I don't know how many hours the guy sleeps at night. It has to be like three because he's always doing something to put this program out there and build it up to the best potential that it can be. And it seems like he's doing a pretty okay job in the short time that he's been there so far.
Yeah, he's someone that I really think you need to have a personality for USC basketball in particular. It's, USC basketball has never been the marquee sport of the school, and there's such a rich tradition with football and then like track and field, as you say, baseball, obviously, even though it's been on hard times now for like 2 decades, but there's a very rich tradition with the baseball program. Basketball has always kind of been that stepchild to UCLA, although we're in a unique era now where we're in the NIL era and UCLA doesn't seem to have a ton of NIL money available, so think everything's new. UCLA still done very well, but even over the last pre-NIL, for the last 15 to 20 years, if you look at putting players in the NBA, USC and UCLA, but there's been a lot of parity there. So USC's basketball has been better, but we never really had that one figure, the guy, that magnetic personality, can try to really go and market the program. Andy Enfield, I think, was a really great guy, very sweet, very open. But he had almost like a shyness about him. He wasn't like the
See
most
that.
outgoing guy. He really liked to keep, I think, his personal life private. Didn't like to put himself out there too much. And, Musselman is just the biggest extrovert you can imagine. And then you have the two sides of Musselman, where you have this kind of quirky, silly side, which you're seeing on social media. And then you have this, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but the absolutely, intense, super intense side of him, where he
Oh,
really
yeah.
gets, yeah.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of that at practice the other day. Practice are like super fast paced and he's always yelling and just to backtrack a little bit, I think what like really kind of got me familiar with a little bit of the legacy of USC basketball is, when George Raveling unfortunately passed away, I wrote, two stories about him and took a look at like the last time USC was ranked number 8 in the AP poll while he was coaching, and just like taking a look at that legacy that he left was really kind of revealing. And I talked to a former player who was on that 92 team, Dwayne Cooper, and
Oh,
he
yeah.
like he was very emotional on the call, understandably, but he just emphasized how Rav was just like, he said he was the conductor. He wore the tuxedo at the front of the orchestra, and he was so good at delegating, and everybody on that team knew what their role was. No matter how big or small it was, they knew what their role was, and that's why that team was so successful in 1992. Unfortunately, they did get eliminated at the last
Well,
second in that tournament, which is a bummer, but yeah, it kind of familiarized with me with like how much history there really is at USC that maybe people don't necessarily realize.
yeah, there is, and George Raveling was my basically introduction to USC basketball. When I grew up in Westchester in LA, so we had Loyola Marymount when I was young, making their run. And I don't know if you know about that story, but one of their players died on the court, Hank Gathers, All American, one of the top players in the country. He and his really close friend had both been at USC. And when Raveling came in, he basically said there had been some shenanigans in the recruitment of those guys, and Raveling wasn't standing for it. And those guys left and they ended up going to Loyola Marymount. And Raveling had to rebuild the entire program from scratch. And gosh, I can remember going to this is the old days, so we're at the sports arena, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was an arena right where that soccer stadium is next to the Coliseum. And it was dark and dingy. I mean, the Clippers played there. There wasn't like a lot of energy there. But Raveling would get up and he would be jumping up and down during the game and almost doing jumping jacks trying to get the crowd into the game. Really great stuff. His teams were really exciting too. I mean, he had a lot of guys that were, he wasn't able to recruit kind of top 20 national players. He wasn't able to get 5 stars or even 4 stars in some circumstances. Very, for us to get even a 4 star back then was like a big deal. But he was really able to energize the crowd, and he was able to select players that were just really athletic and fun players. I still have those memories of us that season, that 92 season, beating UCLA at the sports arena, and then having the last second shot against Arizona by Ronnie Chapman to win that game. That was crazy. One of the really the great moments for USC basketball. So yeah, Raveling will always have a very special place in the old timers. I'm old timer now, but like the fans of that era. Great guy. And even before him, and this is not something that's really I know too much about, but Bill Walton on his broadcast always used to talk about how many USC people were in the Basketball Hall of Fame, and which is surprising, but a lot of them go way back to like the 40s and the 50s, back before even I was around. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot of tradition there, and there are some old time fans that are still around and following, but nowadays it's you don't have as many as you used to have, and the part of it is like that whole era of John Wooden kind of just dominated Los Angeles college basketball, and I think some of that is kind of ending, and now we're into new eras. So, well, let me talk to you about your impressions of a couple players on the team. I think you said you even covered Elijah Arenas in high school.
I did, yeah, and his younger sister
Oh,
Hamiley too.
okay. All right.
His sister Hamiley is awesome. They call her Miss America because she's so like social and popular and like everybody likes her. And I think, Elijah has a little bit of that in him too. He's maybe not as bubbly, but he does have this like magnetic personality that's very genuine and very honest too. Like he's not being fake nice with people. He's not being like fake fun. Like he is genuinely enjoying himself. Like at practice the other day, he's on a scooter right now because he can't. He's not supposed to be walking and practicing and everything. So he's going around on his electric mobility scooter and like dribbling the ball while he's on the scooter and getting up shots. And he's got handles on that scooter. So it seems like he's in good spirits right now. And I mean, I'm really excited to see him with this USC team and just like play college basketball in general. He went to Chatsworth High School and they have a great coach there, Sam Harris, and he did have a lot of players and playmakers around him because he just attracted good players to come to that school. So he did have some guys on the court with him, but he still did the bulk of the work. He did most of the scoring. He did most of the rebounding. Kind of a utility guy. So I'm kind of ex like excited to see how his game is going to evolve now that he's at the college level and he has other guys around them that can get him the ball in really strategic, unique ways. I think we're gonna see, like, he's always been a shooter, but I think we're gonna see his shooting improve even more and he's gonna make some tough shots and just look silky while doing it.
Well, he's going to have a lot of time off his feet that all he can do is practice shooting. So shooting and dribbling on the scooter. So yeah, hopefully, yeah, he seems like a really wonderful kid. What about Gabe Dines? I think you had some experience to kind of, get an impression of him.
Yeah, tall, very tall. He's listed as 7'5". I couldn't even tell you if that's totally accurate or not because I don't think I've really been around many people over 7 feet tall in my lifetime. But I would believe he's 7'5" and just like trying to guard that guy. His teammates are like, no, like it's, I don't want to do it in practice. I do not envy anybody who has to do it in a game. So he's going to be counted on to, get those rebounds, get those easy layups, be that big center that this team really needs. He also put on a lot of, well, not a lot of weight. He put on weight since he arrived at USC. He came in at 213 pounds and now he's up to 230. So he's not somebody that you can just push away around on the court either. Downfall with guys like that is sometimes like you're not going to get the calls that you want in certain game situations. So, but that's, you got to take the good with the bad, I guess. And I think the pros really are going to outweigh the cons for him.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see what he can do this season. Okay, well, maybe the I've talked about him a few times, but the biggest personality on the team, Chad Baker-Mazzara, very unique personality. I don't know if you had a chance to talk with him, but what are your general impressions of seeing Chad out there?
Yeah, they did not make him available for media.
Okay.
Not super surprised. He seems a little bit unpredictable sometimes with what he's going to say. But he is, I mean, we can talk about his personality first. I think he can definitely have some fans this year just because of the presence that he has on the court. He wasn't talking a lot of trash per se at the practice, but he was for sure complimentary of himself. Whenever he
Yeah.
would make like a really good shot, he'd be talking to photographers on the sideline, being like, "This is my good side. Make sure you get this." He's from the Dominican, so he speaks English and Spanish. He makes his teammates laugh a little bit sometimes when he gets into the Spanish and goes like super fast. But personality aside, I mean, you need someone with personality on your team because you're going to need some moments of levity. You just need a person like that. But personality aside, when it comes to his abilities, he made this buzzer-beating 3-point shot at the end of a drill, and it was a pretty deep three. I don't think anybody was expecting it to go in, and I asked Must about it in our media availability, and he was like, "This guy makes all of these shots that you think would never go in." He's like, "I've seen him take shots where he's falling down, where the angle is wrong, and somehow the ball goes in the net." And he kind of credits that to Chad's background growing up in the Dominican, because Must said that he had been oh my gosh, he'd been to the Dominican. Sorry, kind of tough to say. He'd been there and he'd seen the courts that some of these guys play on, and they're not always the most polished courts like we have in America all the time. Some of these courts have, open air. Some of them have a draft or like a breeze coming through. And Musk thinks that, learning to shoot in those less than ideal conditions has kind of made him really polished when he comes into even a practice facility or any type of arena that they might be in the Big Ten or beyond.
And I just for everyone, for a little reference point, for some of the things that Haley's been talking about, if you go to her social media, especially on X, her Helium Sawyer, at Helium Sawyer, she's got video of this crazy three that she just discussed. And she's got a video of Elijah on his little scooter dribbling behind his back and around. So that's great to have there. One other guy I wanted to, maybe you can comment a little about is the one, the lone returner on the team who kind of was just now cleared to play to practice. I think he's probably trying to still get back into shape because he's been out for months. And that's Terrence Williams. Very different type of personality than Chad Baker-Mazur.
Like we've been saying, I don't have a ton of observations to go off of, but he really does seem to be like the calm presence on this team, very steady. He was made available to media afterwards, and he's just, so grateful to be back, obviously. A wrist injury is nothing to mess around with. He got the surgery, and like you said, he had a ton of time off, and right now it's kind of just about like shaking the rust off, getting back into playing condition. If it's your wrist, you can still run and keep your cardio up and things like that, but you're not able to shoot and do those typical things that you would be able to in basketball, obviously. But I think the biggest thing that he's going to end up bringing is just like a leadership style, like very steady, very calm. He's the only returner from last season. So, I think he's going to bring some maturity to this team. He's also like a bigger, more built guy on the team, so he might be able to add like a physical presence, even if he's not handling the ball all the time. Just being kind of a glue guy and being there for everybody.
Yeah, he seems like a really, really good guy. And earlier in the summer, when we had the media availability, almost without being prompted, Mus described kind of the trouble he's had with that injury and the reason it took so long with the lack of blood flow there. So it's really good that it's finally kind of cleared up and he's recovered. He's basically recovered. Because those things could be scary. You're way beyond your years, but when I was a kid, Bo Jackson was a two-way player or two-sport player in NFL and baseball, Major League Baseball, and he had a really kind of odd hip injury playing for the Raiders in a playoff game, and it was just on a strange tackle the way he was tackled, and it caused the lack of blood flow to the hips. He ended up having to get hip replacement at the age of like 25 years old. And he was never the same, never played football again, still played baseball, but was never the same kind of power player he had been. So that lack of blood flow, that can be very serious. So I'm really happy that he's mended. Now he's just got to get in, back in playing shape, but that's absolutely great for him. Well, Haley, thanks you so much for joining us. Before I let you go, as I there was some Your name was up on social media a little bit today, and I promised some people I'd ask about it because you are one of the pollsters on the AP top 25 ballot for are you going to be for basketball as well or just for football? Do you know?
Just for football, yeah.
Okay, so for football, you're one of the kingmakers. You get to decide who's ranked and who's not and where they're ranked. And you caught a little bit of guff for it on social media. So I'm just handing the stage to you. You can tell me what your thoughts are about it and how your reaction.
Well, I love the AP Top 25 polls because they are just such a great foundation for discussion in sports, right? That's one of the reasons why we love sports is because we can debate it all we want. There's also a fan poll that the AP has released too. So you guys want to make your voice heard, you can definitely vote in that as well. But as far as what my votes are and what my process is, I wake up early in the morning after covering a game late in the night before. Don't want to go too much into my progress or process or logic, but I will say I appreciate everybody's interaction on social media and all of your feedback.
I have to say, one of the complaints had to do with South Florida, and I kept thinking, why does anybody care? South Florida lost to Florida, and I didn't. I had the game on in my house, and I didn't watch the end of the game. Didn't realize they had lost, so I felt a little bit like an idiot too. Just sometimes I can't focus on who's done what. I'm sure people would love to know. I'm sure you can't answer this question for USC, but in general, what would be something you were looking for to get your get into your you know a fan of some team? What can that team do to get into your top 25?
Oh, that's a great question. What can they do to get in my top 25? I think just I like we take into account the week to week performances for a team, but also take into account like the overall season so far, what kind of culture that team has too. And there's also, there's tons of people that vote on the AP poll, and like it's not a perfect system, but at the end of the day, like no matter who you pick, it does even out because there's so many people who vote. And like I said, it's really fun for discussion. It doesn't, probably matter in the end, but I'm glad that people are having a really good time with it.
Yeah, I am too. Well, Haley, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And not being a years long USC basketball beat reporter, it's really nice of you to come on here and share your experiences, notwithstanding that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope we get to see you out there soon.
I'm hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that's the case. Well, for everybody else, we'll be back soon with another podcast. Until then, everybody, fight on.